Now, Brother Herzchuk has selected for his topic of discussion this afternoon, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Brother Walt. Dear brethren, it has been a pleasure to be here with you during these 3 days of convention, which are coming to a close. We thank the Lord for all his blessings of spiritual food from the platform, the provisions, temple provisions, so adequately supplied by the brethren here and their labors of love. And it won't be long, we will part again, and until the Lord permits us to meet. We're very happy for this, and I'm sure that we will remember each other and continue to press along in the narrow way to fight the good fight of faith. Before we begin our subject for today, I'd like to make a clarification. Yesterday I mentioned that in reference to Isaiah 61:1, about it was brought to my attention that the day of vengeance, it is mentioned in Isaiah 61:2, but it is not mentioned by our Lord in Luke 4:18-19. The Lord opened up, he says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, to the Lord. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. He did not mention vengeance, because that was not the time for it. So I wanted to make that clarification. Our subject for today, brethren, is about light. And we sang a beautiful hymn, "Send Out Thy Light," and I think that hymn has a lot of meaning in it, brethren. And our opening text for our consideration today is found in 1 Peter 2:9. "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now you'll notice here that we were a chosen generation, many called, few chosen, and it's just the chosen class that will be among these, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Food for thought here, brethren, of all our qualifications. A peculiar people. And brethren can refer to manna, May the 20th, about the peculiar people. "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now we know that we have a part in the sin offering. Our Lord was shown in the bullock, and we are shown in the Lord's goat, offering for sin. And offerings for sin were burned without the camp. And we are called to be holy. Now that is something, brethren, we have to consider in our lives. Are we holy? Are we peculiar? Are we entertaining sin, or are we eradicating sin? Our commission is to eradicate sin from ourselves and from others, wherever we may be, even though we may be unpopular. So we have a great commission. Now, when we come to the word light, Webster gives us the definition that it is the quality of environment that makes vision possible. That's one definition. An illuminating body such as the sun, the light, a lamp or candle. A light is the opposite to darkness. And light can also mean knowledge, which gives mental illumination or understanding. And in our case, brethren, we will agree that this definition of light would suit this fourth definition, which is knowledge that gives mental illumination or understanding. Now we know that the nature and physical cause of light is as yet but imperfectly comprehended. No satisfactory solution of the query, what is light? We do know, however, that it is a prime essential throughout nature, and we are not surprised to find it first in the divine order when the time came for divine energy to operate upon the waste and empty earth to prepare it for man. As we read in Genesis, the brooding effect that was there would seem to be the vitalizing power, possibly electrical energies and lights such as the aurora borealis or the northern lights at that time. And that's in volume 6, page 30. So we see that light is very important, brethren. We see when the sun comes out, everything looks beautiful, and the trees and the flowers need light to grow. There are some flowers that will not grow in the shade. They're not beautiful. Some need constant sunlight. So we believe that that our Heavenly Father, as we read in 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And yet, there are very few that have faith that there is a God. As already mentioned today, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So when we have come to realize who God is, brethren, through our through faith, as Jesus mentioned to Thomas, that the blessed are those that do not see yet believe. We do not see God, yet we believe that He exists. And such are blessed and have faith that He exists. We believe in the Pleiades in the north, and He is over all. And He is a being of what measurements or how He may look, we do not know, but He is a being and controls everything. So for us, brethren, it is very important that we have faith in God. And we note that the light of knowledge of the glory of God will eventually fill the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. And this is referred to that definition, as we said, that it's the mental illumination or understanding. We read in John 8:12, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. So what does light represent in the Bible? We would say that light represents truth, Bible truth. Everything in conjunction, brethren, to our understanding of truth. And there's much in our Bibles that we have to understand. So we see here, brethren, that for us it is very important that we abide in the light. when we look at the parable of the 10 virgins found in Matthew 25, we see that they were lacking something. And we will turn to Matthew 20, the 25th chapter, the parable about the wise and the foolish virgins. And we read, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." This is starting with the Miller movement and on to 1874. "And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." They might have known about the truth, but they didn't have the spirit of the truth, brethren. The understanding, the proper understanding of the truth, or the spirit of it. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The spirit of truth, obedience, and sacrifice. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold the bridegroom, go ye out to meet him." And this was the beginning, we know, of our Lord's return in 1874. "Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was shut." So we see, brethren, that there can be a class, and we believe that there is the great company class, the foolish version, that existed throughout the whole gospel age, which did not have the oil, the spirit of truth. They were careless, and eventually they realized their lack, and they had to go and buy it in the marketplace. And the buying in the marketplace, brethren, means full consecration. And we, those of the wise virgin brethren, are obedient, and they use their time, and they strive to be led by the Spirit of the truth. They are fully consecrated, and they are obedient. And they do everything that they can to serve the Lord, to become more than overcomers. So we see, dear brethren, how important it is that we have the true light in us. There's only a few during the gospel age recognized Jesus as the true light. Now enlightened by his word, we are the representatives. We are the light of the world. We should keep our light trimmed and burning. We must let it shine that those following us may not walk in darkness. And that is why, brethren, there are many ecclesias that are standing firm today, because there are brethren who are holding out the light of truth and adhere to what the Lord has left for us, his grand plan of the ages. And he has only one plan, brethren. He has only one purpose. He has only one blueprint, we might say, in what he plans to do. And we try to serve him to the best of our ability. And then there's a danger. Our Master tells us in Matthew 6:22, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single or clear, thy whole body shall be full of light, illuminated especially with the truth. But if thine eye be evil, selfish, or diseased, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee through neglect," in quotations, "become darkness," or "be darkness, become darkness, how great is that darkness." And what a danger for us, brethren, if any one of us, if the light in us become darkness, how great is that darkness. What does it mean to have an eye single? It means singleness of purpose. It means of heart intention toward God. Clearness of spiritual vision depends on the singleness of our purpose. And that is why the Apostle Paul said in the Philippians 3:13 and 14, "This one thing I do." He only did one thing, brethren. And let us strive to do that also. We know we have our earthly duties. We have, each one of us has different responsibilities, the obligations which we have to provide for, because the Apostle says if we provide not for our own, we are worse than unbelievers. So we have these obligations. But any other time than that, brethren, it is to be used in the Lord's service. And we should adjust our vision to see the great value of the future life in comparison with the present one, and setting our affections there, as the Apostle tells us in Romans 12:2, to be transformed, and our affections should be set above. We should be thinking about spiritual things, and to be transformed and to be strong, and to serve, do good unto all, and especially unto the household of faith. Attending the meetings, the Apostle Paul reminds us that there's some that neglect that. And we'll just quote that. He tells us in Hebrews 10:24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And then he goes on to say, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is." Well, I don't think I'll go to the meeting tonight. Taking it casually. Maybe that person could have come to the meeting, but it wasn't that important. We think, brethren, this is a command. We think it's a command. Let us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And this day, brethren, is the millennial day, the end of the gospel, and the end of this age. We see it approaching. And let us use all our time and energy that we may use it in spiritual growth, that our eye may be single. We have two eyes of our understanding, one a present outlook and one a future outlook, an earthly and a heavenly. We have to think about the earthly, and yet most important is the heavenly view. It is important that we get these two views rightly adjusted to see matters in their true light, as we read in Reference 45:67. Some are cross-eyed, endeavoring to serve two masters and walk according to two standards. Well, we can't do that, brother. We have to have one standard. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And we, in the text it mentions, full of light. We have clearness of spiritual vision in proportion as we have loyalty to the Lord and the enlightening influence of His Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of love. The light, the Holy Spirit of the way of truth, we should let it shine upon men. Some who once hated the message have thus been convinced. And this reminds us of the two farmers that were living side by side, and This one farmer was in the truth, and the other one was a worldly man, and he would just keep throwing the rocks from his field onto the other farm. But this other farmer, who was consecrated, he'd pick up the rocks, put them on the pile, and this kept on for years. But what happened? Eventually, this other farmer saw that there's something different about this neighbor of mine, and he came into the truth, brethren. So sometime, brethren, we have to suffer much, whether it's our children, our parents, our neighbors, our friends, or some at work, that we do not return evil for evil, but try to be a light. And this is also our life is also a witness. It's a light. Ye are a light in the world. People look at us, brethren. We are living letters. We are read by everyone. and just make one flip of the tongue. Oh, I thought you were a Bible student. And so we have to be very careful. Now, if the light in us become darkness, and this only refers to the church class, brethren, if the light of the Holy Spirit of our begetting becomes extinguished, that only implies unfaithfulness. We're not faithful. Showing the importance of proper spiritual sight in order to discern truth clearly. And then, as we read in the text, some will start looking and thinking or viewing it as taking darkness for light and light for darkness. Blessings misused may be turned into a curse. The darkness not only affects people intellectually, but morally, blunting their sense of right and wrong. In certain instances, God will force people out of the light into outer darkness, common to the world in general. Disloyalty to the Lord tends in this direction. If we are not worthy of the truth, brethren, the Lord is not going to, he doesn't favor anyone who is not loyal. It'll be taken away from him. How great is that darkness, both to ourselves and to the world, from whom the light is thus obscured. It would have been better to have not known the truth than to have departed from the holy command, as we read in reprint 43:99. The influence for evil of such an enlightened one sanctified by the truth and then seduced by Satan is more than doubled. How great is the darkness which we have to be aware of. Such a mind will be in worse condition than that of the worldly mind. Having lost fear of man, if they lose also the mind of the Lord, they have no fixed principle to govern their course. And there are many reprints on this. I'll give you one that's reprint number 5100. If any fail to go on in development of love, they will surely retrograde, degenerate from a better to a worse condition of body, mind, morals, etc. A darkness that will not only become the more intense as one slips and slides along the backward track. He loses all knowledge of the mystery, the peculiar relationship existing between Christ and the church. And so, dear brethren, as we mentioned, that it is very important that we abide in the light. And the Lord will bless us if we are faithful. And this is brought forth to us in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. The apostle is telling us, 1 Thessalonians 5, in the 5th chapter, where he brings to our attention that living in our time, brethren, we should be developed. And 1 Thessalonians 5, starting from verse 1. But the time of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. And this is the time that we are living in. He knew that the church, the true church, would have the admonitions, they'd have the light that God would provide it for them, and which he has provided so bountifully for us. It's on the table, laid out on the table for us. All we have to do is partake. Volume 1, Volume 2, the Bible, the reprints, anything we want, like we have laid out before us. Some want this, some want that. We want to study this today, we want to study that tomorrow. It's there. And how beautifully the pastor had such, the Lord used the pastor that is so easily understood and clearly, brethren. You pick up any reprint, any volume, and it's written in the language that can be understood from the one that's not much learned to the learned. And how beautiful. We can sit in our study rooms and study the word with the help. Otherwise we'd have confusion. And I'm sure that is why, if one is not, as we noticed in the Ukraine, where the brethren, before they had the volumes, anyone that came along, they listened to everything that anyone said, and they were not sure. And now that the truth has reached their hands, they have the opportunity to make the truth their own, whether they accept it or not. So the Lord gives us the food, the meat on the table, by which we may be enlightened, and by which we may be strong, and by which we may be His ambassadors, and by which we can print by pen or by radio or by television, tell the people something. And the brethren have this opportunity. We have it in Winnipeg, by radio, by television, and by print. And how blessed when someone writes in and they are touched with the truth, with the light, brethren. We said that light is an illumination of the mind. And as Brother Lyle Cook says, when you want to, you need help, physical help, you go to the best doctor that you can get. There may be various doctors, but you select the best one. And we think we have the best food that the Lord has provided for us, brethren. Truth in due season. Light. So living in our time, the Apostle Paul is helping us. He is telling us. But the time of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Yes, He has come as a thief in the night. And He has also come as a light, or lightning, which shineth from the east unto the west. The small beginning in 1874, brethren, the sun began to rise. Literature was being sent out. Brethren were rejoicing. And it's going to shine for the whole 1,000 years. It's going to shine for the church. It's going to shine for the great company. It's going to shine for the world. And also for the ancient worthies, because they will be under Christ and the church. And he goes on to say, for when they shall see peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night. We are not of darkness. He makes that clear to us. And he combines that with the second presence. That we should know in the time that we are living in. We should know about the Jubilees. We should know the Jubilee trumpet. We should know the chronology and so on and so forth. Therefore, let us not sleep. When one sleeps, he doesn't know anything. He's not aware of anything. But as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Let us walk in the light, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for an helmet the hope of salvation. So we see, brethren, that we are living in this time, that the Lord has admonished us through the Apostle Paul that we are not in darkness, but we are in the light. But the light can become darkness. Our Lord tells us that. Yes, if the light in thee becomes darkness, how great is the darkness? And we see some brethren that are going into darkness, leaving that which they once thought was, which they enjoyed and thought was present truth and light, and they've left it. And yet the Lord will sift all of us and see where our love lies, brethren. And we that have consecrated our all, we want to serve the Lord, and He will help us. He will He will bless us. Ye are all children of the light, children of the day. Therefore, let us sleep as do others. And the comments on the sleep, do not sleep as others, that stupefies the world. You know, darkness stupefies, just like when you have a drink. Your mind goes off. You're not stable. But let us watch, be on guard, and be sober, self-controlled and awake, to know what we understand, what we believe, and what we are running for. We are children of light, all the children of God, so far as they have received the Holy Spirit of begetting. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. So having laid down our lives, brethren, in consecration for becoming the servants of righteousness, we are enemies of sin, as mentioned before. We are enemies of sin. And we must be very careful that we don't let any white lies slip by willingly. We do have weaknesses. We do have failures, brethren. And these are covered by the merit of our Lord's sacrifice through our advocate. And we have a standing before God that we are clean through our advocate. Daily we are recognized, we are reckoned as clean before the Lord if we watch our consecration. They will be watching. They will be enlightened and taught of the Lord. For God hath shined into their hearts, 2 Corinthians 4:6, as we read in our opening text, brethren. Ye are a chosen generation, and show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that is God who has called us. God selects the church. Christ is the head of the church, and he is our head. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a lantern to my footsteps. Psalm 119:105. We belong to the new dispensation and are therefore counted as children of light, even in the present darkness. Little lights here and there. And when you're up in an airplane, and especially at night, you see the little lights here and there. And that's the way we appear in the world, brethren. There's some here in Salem and some in Vancouver and Chicago and Winnipeg and Prince Albert and everywhere. We are God's representatives and ambassadors. And we are glad, brethren, that we have staunch brethren and sisters who stand up for the truth, who are being busy proclaiming the truth, who are busy assisting their brethren, who are busy and spend the time to study, to make the truth their own, and to have it clear. We are to tell the people about the light and knowledge and glory of God that is soon to come, so that all who love the light may take heed to the word of God and get ready to be members of that kingdom class. And one great opportunity we have, brethren, is during the funeral service. This is the time when many come, and we have that opportunity. And not only then, but on whatever occasion we may have. For we were sometimes, formerly in darkness, but now ye are light. We are in the daylight, in the Lord. We walk, we live, and we act as children of light. The apostle tells us in Ephesians 5:8. We were once in ignorance and misunderstanding of God and unbelief. In order to keep mankind away from God, Satan has put light for darkness and darkness for light. But we are light. The transfer from darkness to light is gradual. We are transformed in mind and finally perfected in the first resurrection. So we are to walk as children of light, brethren. So let us continue strong in the faith. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And with the many coming in inventions and the days that we are living in, brethren, we have all these opportunities proclaiming the truth. And the apostle tells us further that in Philippians 2:14-15, he says, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless, innocent, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse or twisted and foolish nation, among whom ye shine or are seen as light stars in this dark world." Let us strive to do that, brethren. We are not to find faults with it and difficulties in the narrow way. We are to work without complaining, without fault finding, leaving to God the management of his work. We should be able to continue strong in the Lord. We cannot please everyone. We are to be blameless, brethren, in the sight of those who are recognized as having the best judgment. And we should continue to serve the Lord to the best of our ability. And as in closing, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Some tell us that the volumes were written over 100 years ago. That's old, our J.W. friends. But we tell them that the Bible was written before the volumes. And it's an old book. Do we discard that? No, we don't, brethren. But the light shines brighter for us. We understand this plan better. We understand the symbols. We understand what God's plan is through the times that we are living in, brethren, and we are not in darkness, and we see the fulfillment. Maybe at one time we didn't see some things clearly, but we see them more clearer now, but yet in harmony with the plan of God. So, dear brethren, in closing, may we continue to be these lights, and that we may not let darkness creep in. Let us continue to be the lights of the world, in the world, and use every opportunity, brethren, to praising our Heavenly Father, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. May the Lord have his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Walker. Thank the Lord. Abide in the light. Very important. It's our position, isn't it? Our commission, that we stick to the food the Lord has set forth this time. And we appreciate the admonitions along that line, Brother Walter. And for closing hymn, we have 264, Brother Walter selected, and we'll sing them over again.
Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee for this blessed opportunity that we can gather with those of like precious faith and together rejoice in Thy Word. We thank Thee for all thy admonitions and Thy leadings, that we may abide in Thy light. The glorious light of Thy beautiful plan of the ages and of Thy love, which will be manifest to all in due time. And how glad we are that Thou hast called us out of darkness into Thy marvelous light. We pray for Thy help along this line, because we do have our shortcomings and we do have our problems in life. And that Thou will help us even in these, that we may be more than overcomers. That Thy promised grace to help will be with us, that we may continue to be a light in the world wherever we are, and to hold fast the banner of truth of Thy plan wherever we can. We ask forgiveness for our shortcomings. We're mindful of all the dear ones everywhere, and especially as we heard in the testimonies of all the brethren who are undergoing various trials, help them and bless them according to Thy need, that they may be comforted through Thy word and be able to have the hope to carry on, and with Thy help. We ask all these favors and blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen.